Keep busting.
Just checking through a bit of an interview between Britain's favourite daytime jock, Wayne Carr, currently upholding a job at Radio HMV, and your favourite man, Peter Stringfellow. Just see, have you got that on the tape? Hang on.
What gets me about Kenneth Clark? The man's is just wrinkles and no face.
That sort of thing, tonight, between 9 and 10 o'clock. Actually, it's scandalous. It's completely scandalous.
Well, what about Portillo?
Yeah, well, Portillo. Does he need a lady?
Well, I mean, you know.
You get the picture. You say we're getting our act together. Are you part of the government in some way?
Well, of course. What gets me about Kenneth Clark? The man's is just wrinkles and no face.
Slept with a hell of a lot of babes.
Well, listen, after 32 years, you've got to have... I mean,
was it 2000 you said there?
Somewhere around about that, yeah.
Jesus F. Christ.
So?
I just can't believe it.
Well, it's a fact.
I mean, it's incredible.
Well, I think that probably is, but...
That must be amazing. How do you do that?
Because I don't leave... To put it bluntly, I'm a very sexual person.
But, you know, I mean, talking frankly man to man, you'd have thought she would actually have twisted your cock off its hinge.
Record number two.
Right, in tonight's Gibbering Wreck, cheerful toss from friend of 1FM, Peter Stringfellow. We hope he'll be your chum by the end of the night, too. There's the car quiz. The prize for that is a driving lesson with John Peel. Kitty's outing. And here in the studio, we're very privileged to have Phil Collins. He's crawling around the floor in a nappy. He's got an enormous 8-foot tongue on his back. He looks very much like a giant, soft kind of tortoise. He's whimpering soundlessly in the corner. He's really just crawling around doing very little else. He keeps trying to raise himself up on the single foot that's growing out of his stomach, but he can't make it. The tongue is far too heavy. Weight of Mick McManus. And in the news tonight, Edwina Curry recalls her operation to have her antlers removed.
I was 5 years old when I had mine done, and it went all numb and horrible.
No Peter Benham tonight, by the way. He's still in hospital after last week. Didn't stop him winning the Perrier.
Hello, this is Bruno Brooks, and I'm just plain bloody stupid.
You got rid of this slightly skinny look you had on you there.
Yeah, I'm looking good. I've got to tell you, for
you're not sunken and sallow.
I'm looking really good.
And your blood count's fine and everything like that.
Yeah, low blood pressure, you know, sexually active.
Yeah, your little white soldiers are good, are they?
Yeah, and I've just started wearing boxer shorts. How's that?
So you've scotched the AIDS rumours.
Correct.
REM latest single. Ridiculous way with a minimal hook that they have. If you came back as an article of clothing in the next life, what would it be?
Oh, that's an easy one. It would be white, it would be slightly frilly, not too big, and it's known as a G-string. Girls.
So tonight, the Wayne Carr interview is with King Prong, Peter Stringfellow. Peter Stringfellow, welcome.
My pleasure.
Hi there. Now, Stringfellow's the name. Was it simply the name?
Well, you mean, was I born with it? Yeah.
No, the clubs. We're talking about a man whose name is synonymous with fun and clubbing. Uh-huh. Stringfellow's the name of the club. Was it simply the name?
You mean simply the name that made the success?
Okay, well, listen, I guess we'll come back to that if you're having difficulty. Question two, What about the name Stringfellow? Shares 60% of the letters of the word nightclub. Is that why you named your club Stringfellows?
Okay, no, let me explain that. When I first started in 1960, number one, Stringfellow didn't have any glamour in those days.
Apart from having written Hiawatha.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And the different range of people you attract, a huge range of people, don't you?
I do that deliberately.
Yeah, from Sloan's, you got the Jet Set, rock stars, the Blunties, the Siders, the Riders, and the Hex. They're all there.
Yeah, I mean, my door is very wide. If you make the effort and you look good, you can come in. Because basically, we're all of one type, you know. And I find it nothing more boring in a nightclub than when it gets very narrow. I personally wouldn't be comfortable
in a narrow club. Because you're a wide kind of person yourself?
Yeah, I think so, you know.
All right, so say I am a typical 90s person, right? Say I'm a Plunty or a Sider. I come in. Do you say Plunty's over there, Sider's over there, Hex over here, Jet Set over there?
But very, very quickly, everybody knows where to stand in their own patch.
But you see a Plunty come into the club. He's looking a little bit down. Would you actually go up to him?
Yes, I do that.
What would you say to a Plunty you came in?
I just say, hey, nice to have you in. Welcome to the club. Let me get you a drink. Once they're in the club, I'll look after it.
What are those sequin heck hats? That would be okay.
It depends how he's wearing it, how the rest of his look.
What kind of cuisine do you give him?
Well, in the early days, we used to have, of course, like everywhere else in London, you had your menu in French.
You had your menu in?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like violin players?
Do I like who?
Well, you say you had your menu in. Are violin players the sort of people that you actually have in?
Vinnie Jones comes in and he's a great guy. He's in violin. You just let him sing
again. He's not a violin player, is he? No, would you had your menu in and Stefan Grappelli, say?
Yeah, why not?
More music.
Saw this guy at the weekend. I was expecting to have my head blown off. Yeah. It was one of the worst gigs I've seen. The only exciting bits were the starts of the songs. Everything else was just bass and drums and him wandering around like Christopher Biggins on steroids.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kinda odd. No barking from the dog, no smog. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hug. I got my grub on, but didn't pig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out. Hooked it up for later as I hit the dough. Thinking, will I live another 24? I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top. And if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light. Looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is alright. I got a beat from Kim, and she could do it all night. Called up the homies and I'm asking y'all, which part are y'all playing basketball? Get me on the court and I'm troubled. Last week messed around and got a triple-double. Freaking brothers every way like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day. The pad and hit the showers. Didn't even get no static from the cowards. Cause just yesterday, them fools tried to blast me. Saw the police and they rolled right past me. No flexing, didn't even look in a brother's direction as I ran the intersection. Went to show dog's house, they was watching your MTV raps. What's the haps on the crap? Shake 'em up, shake 'em up, shake 'em up, shake 'em. Roll 'em in a circle of homies and watch me break 'em with a 7. 7-Eleven, 7-Eleven, 7 even back door, little jump. I picked up the cash flow. Then we played bones, and I'm yelling domino. Plus nobody I know got killed in South Central LA. Today was a good day. My homie's house pay. Picked up a girl, been trying to dig since the 12th grade. It's ironic.
He didn't sing that in the gig.
Had the bougie, had the chronic.
It didn't sound like Dick to me.
Felt on the big fat fanny. Pulled out the jammy and killed the punani. And my Jimmy runs deep, so deep, so deep. Put her butt to sleep. Woke her up around 1. She didn't hesitate to call Ice Cube the Top Gun. Drove her to the pad and I'm coasting. Took another sip of the potion. Hit the 3-wheel motion. I was glad everything had worked out. Dropped the bird up and then chirped out. Today was
like one of those fine dreams. Didn't even see a berry flashing those high beams. No helicopter looking for the murder. 2 in the morning, got the fat burger. Even saw the lights of the Goodyear blimp, and it read ice cubes of piss. Drunk as hell, but no throwing up. Halfway home, and my page is still blowing up. Today I didn't even have to use my AK. I gotta say it was a good day.
The thing was at this gig was that the night before, Ice Cube had done a gig in Glasgow, during which somebody had been killed, he'd been stabbed right before Mr. Cube's eyes in the audience. And so he spent half this gig prancing up and down saying what a very bad idea it was to stab people, and then launching into another song about blowing a cop's head off. In fact, he even changed the lyrics of this song. You know the bit that says, today I didn't have to use my AK? He said, today somebody got stabbed in the UK, and then immediately forgot himself and said, it was a good day. He must have gone to bed a very confused man. Actually, not surprising he refused to be interviewed. It would have been difficult.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, you stab someone, that's like, that's harder, more violent, you know, than if you shoot them, you know, because with a gun, you're further away, yeah.
From the Radio 1 Sound Advisors. Those are those people who tell us what records to play you. I'll let you know about that later on. Forgot to tell you also there's a feedback coming up later. Wander up into the street, ask someone a stupid question, get answers like this.
What problems can it cause?
Fiddling with things.
Why are you talking strangely?
Juice Bridge, Paul.
Hey,
Paul Garner, where are you?
I'm out in Windsor.
What are you doing there?
I'm just playing with some matches here.
And you're within striking distance of Heathrow.
Yeah, I can get down to Heathrow. There's some childish tannoy announcements.
Well, it's something truly ridiculous.
Absolutely childish.
Okay,
yeah.
I'd like to put in a request.
Which one?
Well, it's a man with a surname Zaas.
Zaas. Oh yeah. First name Doug.
Yes.
Doug Zaas.
See you in an hour.
See you, mate.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the 1FM sound advisors. They've been pulling the records which we should play to you. Any update on the combined results of their wisdom? Ah. This is a new one from Suede.
In certain circumstances.
Oh, shall we? It's good for us, this one. It's a verse of I Will Follow. Tonight's show, Wayne Carr has been interviewing your favourite man, Peter Stringfellow. Here's part three. Listen, let's talk about Cabaret of Angels.
I'd love to talk about a cabaret.
Okay, but first, actually, let's not, because it's a little bit cheap to be so eager to plug yourself. Let's talk about your early life. Now, you lived in a one-up, one-down.
Yes, I did.
Now, that's a kind of micro-habitation. Can you imagine anything smaller and yet still possible?
No.
We've been doing some concern features and did actually speak to somebody who lived in a one-up, no-down, which was pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, I think that's a terrible thing. That should be stopped immediately. In fact, there's a lot of things should be knocked down.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, there's one-up, no-downs. You get the horrible effect of the planes flying underneath you.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had a few of those too.
Right. Now let's go from that kind of micro-habitation right to the Cabaret of Angels. And before we get into that, may I say that it is great that someone actually had the guts to come out and put a ban on the, you know, the fat chicks. Because you get a lot of grief for that, and I can't see why.
It got like this, you see. What it was is that I was saying that there's a percentage of very fat people who, when they go out at night, don't make an effort. They've given up. And I was saying, if you've given up, please don't come to Stringfellows.
If you go to a whole club crowded out with arse women, then it's you wish they'd keep their fat features at home, really.
Well, you see, that's where the hypocrisy came in, you know. Everyone was saying, oh, this is terrible. And I said, okay. What do you think about this wonderful word, which I hate, called politically correct?
Oh, dear.
I refuse to be politically
correct. I say be impolitically incorrect.
Okay, I'll go for that one, too.
Yeah, it's the ugly ones that are the problem, I guess.
You should read some of the mail, what they've called me, man. Wow.
Yeah. Is it because they don't actually fit with the image of the high-profile people, the Plunties, the Siders, all the rest of them in there? Is it because they don't actually fit with those kind of people?
Look, I save a lot of people from having a miserable night by refusing them entrance. In other words, they can come in and feel really out of it.
Out of it in the bad sense. So we're not talking MDA. We're talking
I'm
in the wrong place.
No, feeling down. Yeah. Oh, my God, you know.
You feel right down your leg and you find even your calves are fat.
Yeah. You know what it's like.
What about someone like Madonna? Say she wanted to come and she'd grown a little blubber sack around the coccyx. Would you let her in?
Of course. Are you crazy? Any celebrity and a star is a star. The public doesn't look at a star and think anything except here is a star. I think Madonna is fantastic.
Isn't she great?
I think she's incredible.
She just, I mean, what she does for women. And she has the sense to shape up. I mean, she goes jogging, she makes her body nice, and she's a real hard body.
And she gives herself over to a business.
Wouldn't it be disgraceful if she allowed herself to go to seed and became like some piece of baobab tree so wide you couldn't get around
it? Isn't it rather sad? We're talking to all age brackets here with Brigitte Bardot, who was the absolute sexiest thing on two legs.
And now,
in the 60s.
What a bloater.
Oh, so sad, isn't it? Seriously. If I was it,
she should have topped herself.
Sure. Well, that's why I don't want to be a lady.
Thanks, Douglas. Just to let you know that the Traffic Jam Society will be alleviating any problems caused by the train strikes this week. It was nice to see them out of the bank holiday. That's for the entertainment of those stuck in traffic. The members of the society, which includes celebrities like Roy Hudd, Jeremy Isaacs and Pam Ayres, will dance naked to traditional folk songs and throw beans and rice to beleaguered drivers. Up next, Kitty's Outing. More Stringfellow and Childish Names from Airport Tannoys.
Staring. man.
Bomb the Bass with Justin Warfield on vocals. And Off His Head. You take part in the next Olympics like that. In fact, the way round it would be if they had drugs allowed. You have 4.3 second 100 meters. 28-foot high jump. You'd just be allowed to take anything you wanted. You take steroids. You could take coke. I mean, just imagine a coke, 100-meter coke race. You'd have, they'd all be on the start. The starter would put his gun up in the air, and then some of them say, "Hey, who says you're in charge?" Kid is outing. No drugs here apart from the crack I give him as payment.
Today's Wednesday, the 31st of August, 1994. And today, I would like to out Fred Truman. Mr. Truman is a barrel-gotted professional tosser and has been a practicing friend of Dorothy for as long as I've known him.
Make me feel warm, man. I'm not feeling good, but that makes me feel warm. Stops from being annoyed. I got annoyed this week with macho lizard owners. You know those sad people who go around with a massive great big lizard on a lead just to show they're macho? I hate those people. The big lizards.
It's a shame. The way you mess around with it. It's a shame. The way you hurt me. It's a shame. The way you mess around with your man. I'm sitting all alone on a telephone.
I mean, they're just strutting around. You've seen them, a huge monitor lizard on a lead. You see in their face, just saying, "Look at me, I'm a big lizard. I'm a lizard man."
You're like a child at play on a sunny day. You wish you played.
In parts, aren't they? Especially when they take him off the leash. Look at me, I'm letting my lizard off the leash. So what? Actually spray them and shine them with lizard polish and then exhibit them at shows.
Oh, my iguana, it's so shiny.
Yeah, what do you use? Well, two coats of Mr. Skink and some teacups. Oh, you cheat. show. Top DJ Wayne Carr is being interviewing Peter Stringfellow. Sure, now let's look at the way the new club works. How does it work? You've got a no-touching thing going on, but with money.
Okay. People in England just don't understand the concept yet. It's a very sophisticated, heterosexual environment for corporate kind of males who have a sophisticated side of life to them. Beautiful girls taking their clothes off at the table side, not walking around naked or semi-naked.
Right.
Nothing like that. And, of course, it's not for the boys either, with all respect. This is a man's place, you know.
A guy's got a grip on himself.
Absolutely.
A man who knows his place in the world and knows how to handle himself.
I think that's a reasonable description.
The successful male.
Right.
A man who wants everything the way he has it because, let's face it, he's worked damn hard for it.
Right.
He's the kind of guy you're creating this environment for because of the rejection problem.
Look, every man, once he's left his incredible young youth to one side, and even when he was young and beautiful, he was rejected by some girl. Let's say he goes into a bar and he sees a beautiful girl, asks her if she'd like to have a drink, and she says no, that's rejection. He doesn't like that. He's not used to it.
Let's look at a genuine rejectile, and let's look at the downside of this that you're helping to alleviate. If a 44-year-old man is rejected, how old does he feel inside when that happens?
50, 60. He's ready to give up, you know.
It's rather touching in a way to feel that these people are being, in a way, protected from that, which can bring a man down.
Well, it does bring a man down. Now, here is an affluent man who knows his business, and he maybe has a staff of 100 people, and they all listen to everything he has to say.
Certainly the defining thing you seem to be saying about your average client is that they are the sort of person that has a staff.
In the main, that's a pretty good description of my clientele.
And would you say that was a defining feature in a way, that he had a staff and he absolutely knew how to handle it?
Absolutely.
If you came back as an article of clothing in the next life, what would it be?
Oh, that's an easy one. It would be white, it would be slightly frilly, not too big, and it's known as a G-string. Girls.
And
that would suit me fine.
Would you like to wear it?
That depends entirely. I mean, I wouldn't be seeing too many faces, would I, down there, so...
You'd be looking out at your clients and giving them a wink and saying, well done, mate, put another fiver in there.
I certainly wouldn't want to be a shoe, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to be a shoe. Cotton or nylon or...
Oh, now we get into it. I'd be quite happy to be a little cotton one, because I like cotton. I think
cotton is nice.
But, you know, a slight little silky one with a little bit frilly edges, that'd be nice.
Hung up on a bedpost and getting a little bit excited about the next time you're going to be worn.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's what I would do.
So that's what you'd like to be. Seriously, even if you only had a very limited consciousness.
You know, we had a bit of a conversation last night in the club about this.
And yeah, I can imagine.
The guy was saying he'd like to be a woman for a couple of weeks. I said, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And all the guys, with the exception of me, would like to be a girl for a week.
And you said, guys, you can be women, I'd be a G-string.
Well, actually, I kept that one quiet, love, you know, because the one I was wearing at the time was getting a bit tight.
But you wouldn't want to be a G-string on yourself, would you?
No, absolutely not.
You want to be right up in the soft, warm recesses of a twat.
You can't actually say that, can you?
Let's be honest about this.
Let's use the right words. Let's use the word vagina, not twat.
Oh, God. Hey!
Next piece of music.
Maybe I don't really want to know how you got in growth, 'cause I just want to fly. Lately, did you ever feel the pain in the morning rain? I sold you to the bone. Maybe I don't really wanna know how you
What's the point of Thursday?
You want to take part in the cow quiz?
I believe so, yeah.
You do? Okay, you know what you stand to win?
No, not exactly.
Okay, you have a choice. You can either have a picture taken from 1FM's roadshow last week of Nicky Campbell talking Latin to somebody who's about to die,
mm-hmm.
or you could come in on the show and actually watch the thing being put together. Okay?
Right.
Great! Okay, let me just play in the jingle for you. Hang on.
Okay.
Cow.
Okay, so we've totted up the value of these prices. They come to well in excess of £100. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is get one question about cows right.
Right.
You have 2 seconds thinking time,
yep.
and then give me your answer, please.
Right.
And then we'll check it, okay?
Okay.
Now, the question is, what do cows use to grind up grass? What do cows use to grind up grass? That's your 2 seconds.
They grind up the grass with bikes.
Sorry, mate. Thanks for taking part.
Okay.
So this would be Craig here. Hello.
Hi.
Craig, how are you doing?
Not too bad at all.
You know the rules of this game?
Yeah, I'm supposed to answer questions on cows.
Okay, fair enough. It's a very simple, straightforward question. Get it right, you win either a picture of Nicky Campbell, either a picture of Campbell talking Latin to a punter, or you can come in and watch a show.
Right, okay.
Okay. Which would you go for?
Probably the picture of Nicky Campbell.
Okay, fair enough. It is signed. Now, here's your question.
Right.
How many cows does it take, on average, to produce 1 pint of milk? That's your 2 seconds thinking time.
One.
Cow. On average, 78 cows produce 1 pint of milk.
Sorry, mate. Thanks for taking part. Cheers.
Okay, thanks.
Give it a beat now. Did the air a little thick in this room tonight? I reckon it's a window from an onslaught of savages rookies overcoming this colorful sight. I'm all the things that my mind said that you got the time and courage to take the rest of the lines and keep us apart. Thank God, this ain't a monopoly. You make us all go back to start. Red, I gotcha. over, there's a lady black. And trusted to a care is a little white girl. And the fact of the matter is, before mama or another kid at school, tell us about the fallacy, the one race rules over the other. She'd be a much better off left. And the band say, race in space, I'm a human. Race, face the music, we all go sing with Jane. Race in space, I'm a human. Cut me, cut you, both the blood is red, I gotcha. S-T-O-R-Y and all this BS propaganda. Keeping you from me and me from you as we grow. I don't wanna know. Why though these boys hated each other? I'd rather believe they never did. I'd rather believe. I'd rather believe that there's hope for a kid. And if he imitates the best, I guess that's what I try to be. And I'ma let the rest is always my guitar underneath the sea. We all go sing with Jane. Race in space, I'm a human. Cut me, cut you. Both the blood is red, get it?
Yeah, well, that's Prince. It's called Race, and it's from the album Come. Okay, part four of Wayne Carr's interview with Peter Stringfellow. There was somebody interviewed Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
Have you ever met the guy?
No, but I rate him highly.
Okay.
One of my heroes.
Well, listen, I've got a clip of that, because this guy knew I was interviewing you, and he asked Stephen Hawking about you. Do you want to hear what he said?
I'd love to, yeah.
Okay, hang on. Let me just work. It's got
wait
it on
for
a,
this.
It's got on a little dictaphone. Wait for this. Here we go.
Peter Stringfellow is a public menace, and in my view, should be excluded from society.
Are you sure that wasn't Doctor Who?
You mean a Dalek or something?
A Dalek, was
yeah.
That?
Well, it's no. On one of these little dictaphone things.
Yeah. No, Stephen, I know exactly that's how he has to speak, but I don't care. The man is a wonderful intellect.
He's a great, and you
I'd
know what
love
he said?
To sit with a few hours and have a chat with that guy.
Because he's glam, isn't he?
Well, he's a wonderful person. You've got to, his sexuality is his mind. That man,
absolutely. You've
got to be, mind. To be a girl and listen to him talk about the universe and his theories on the string theory. By the way, there's such a thing as a string theory. You know what? In the
hey, universe. Matt, maybe that was his little concession
the bubble
to you.
Theory?
Yeah, bubble theory. Well, if just well, you're not called Bubble Fellow. You know.
Certainly wouldn't be a top club in London.
Absolutely, Bubble Fellows. I mean, weird. But no, I mean, the guy, let's face it, Hawking. Yeah, I suppose what you're saying is his brain is the center.
You've got to look at this. That man is in the situation he is.
Yeah, he's definitely that, yeah.
He cannot move a thing, and he speaks through his...
his last...
The machine on his throat. And yet, it wasn't so long ago that he, in the state he's in, got divorced and married his nurse. My God.
He's a kind of like a Meccano stud.
But he's living. He's still doing it. He's
yeah,
not giving up. And
absolutely.
I'd love to be in his brain for a couple of days. When I say I'd like to be Stephen Hawking, I'm not being terrible in saying I'd like
Hawking.
To be with his terrible
Hawking.
Problem.
Yeah.
But have his brain for a couple of days, a couple of weeks.
Have his brain in the club.
Yeah.
And leave him outside.
Well, I don't know if one could do yeah.
It's been an absolutely massive pleasure. And thanks very much for dropping in. Very
my
nice
pleasure,
of you.
Wayne. I've enjoyed it too. Okay. Very, very... Therapeutic is the word.
Excellent.
Hey, Wayne, say hello to my girlfriend, Christine.
Okay, this is for Peter Stringfellow's brand new flesh tube. Christine, has she got the month September written on her head?
No, she's all right. She kept going back to New York and find it very difficult to live with me. I don't know why, because I'm so easy.
Yeah, you're a very easygoing guy. Yeah. We know that on 1FM. And I tell you what, Christine, if you don't know that, then you're a bigger fool than I think you are already just for being a woman. How's that? What's up?
Next piece of music.
They Might Be Giants have got a new album out. This is the last track on it.
There's a girl with a crown and a scepter.
who's on WLSD. And she says that the scene isn't what it's been, and she's thinking of going home. That it's old and it's totally over now, and it's old and it's over now, and it's over, it's over, it's over now. I can see myself at the end of the tour when the road disappears. If there's any more people around when the tour runs aground, and if you're still around, then we'll meet at the end of the tour.
Paul Garner's just arrived.
Engagements are booked through the end of the world, so we'll meet at the end of the tour.
Line up the tapes after this.
Driving themselves to distraction inside me. Then came a knock on the door, which was odd, and the picture abruptly changed at the end of the tour when the road disappears. If there's any more people around when the tour runs aground, and if you're still around, then we'll meet. Was the vehicle, these were the people. You opened the door and expelled all the people. This was the vehicle, these were the people. You opened the door and expelled all the people. This was the vehicle, these were the people. You let them go.
Get a lot of flack, they might be giants, for being an annoying joke band, which really misses the point, because at their best when they're writing about something which seems to be quite sad through a rather misty kind of elliptical lyric. Well, actually, I guess it's actually why their last album was panned, because it was all about palindromes and skulls and rather missed the mark. But the new one out next month is more like it. It's called John Henry, and that's from it. It's called The End of the Tour. Paul, you've zapped in. You've got three tapes.
Yep, three out of three tonight, Chris. Thanks very much, John.
Okay, good. So, what was the first one that you got? Heathrow Airport.
Heathrow Airport, yep. Doug Zass.
Mr. Doug Zass.
Yeah, Doug Zass.
Would Doug Zass please contact the airport information desk to take a telephone call? Doug Zass, please contact airport information.
Nope. Don't giggle. Okay, and number two?
Yep. Heidi Dragsqueak.
Perfectly reasonable name.
Heidi Dragsqueak, please contact airport information. Heidi Dragsqueak to airport information.
Heidi Dragsqueak.
Heidi Dragsqueak, man.
Did anybody notice that?
Yeah, there was a couple of chuckles. Yeah, noticed.
Which must be your raison d'etre, really. That must make you feel big and tall.
Absolutely. It gives me a meaning of life, yeah.
And the last one, which I don't understand the name of at all.
Enolfa Kerr.
Mr. Enolfa
Kerr.
Mr. Enolfa Kerr, please go to the meeting point. Enolfa Kerr, to the meeting point.
That's very successful, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We did well tonight. Thanks very much.
Okay. Just getting tomorrow's papers. Just say thanks to Paul, thanks to Ollie, thanks to Rebecca. Thanks to Peter Bainham, who's in hospital at the moment. He's not actually been around tonight. He is, though, at Edinburgh in the Pleasance Theatre, 8:15 every weekday evening, doing his one-man show. Illness didn't stop him winning the Perrier Award this year, which he did for the fifth time running, so well done to him. And he'll be participating in the Theatre Dementor show in Edinburgh for the rest of the week. This is when a group of insane people are released into Edinburgh for a day with video cameras, and the resulting mayhem is projected onto big screens all around the city. The show is called A World Without Blair, and it's a really beautiful piece of living social criticism that's been snapped up for BBC Two for a series next year, wankers. Okay, tomorrow's headlines look like this. Christ's knuckles big as armchairs, claims Powell. That's in the Independent there, referring to the latest outburst from the slurring academic. There's a picture of him there looking absolutely awful, and a diagram of Christ. Whip snake closes in ostrich mechanic walkout. That's in The Guardian. And tomorrow the Guardian is printed moist to make it softer, but it also tears rather easily. Cone-headed striker will be banned if one more football bursts, rule FA. That's in The Times. Co-arrested for feeding dead children to maggot. That's in all the tabloids there. There's a picture of Sebastian Coe with his head in a sack. And neutered sheriff stuffed vandal into gaping dog, court told. That's in the Norwich Sandwich.